Yeah, I was really happy for the song selection again this morning, and just the last song I thought was really fitting. All I am is yours. Do we stand in awe of the one who gave it all? Well, I'd like to say good morning to everyone that is here, able to be here physically, and also I'd like to say welcome to all of the others that are joining us via the internet, also those that are downstairs. I guess they're physically here too. Is everything good? Yes. Keith says yes. Les says yes. That's good. Are we getting stressed out? Yes. Is it bothering us? Yeah, I guess we'd have to say it probably is, right? I would say I'm not a big fan of it either, but do these circumstances, these times, cause us to do some thinking? I think so, right? And they probably cause our minds to go all sorts of places, and I hope that our minds go to good places and that we find ourselves looking back to God, looking back to His Word. Because who is allowing this ultimately to happen, right? God? For what purpose? Well, we may not understand that all, but we trust that there is a purpose, so. We're not exactly sure how this is all going to come to an end either, right? But there again, the Bible assures us that God is always faithful, and we as believers should be fine with that answer. Before we get started, let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the morning we've had thus far. Lord, I'm thankful that you encouraged us to sing praises, Lord, that is in your perfect will. Lord, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for the leadership that takes care of us. Lord, I just pray that you'd give them wisdom. Help them to know what to do in times that we haven't experienced before. I just pray that you help them to lead and guide us. Show us, help us to see the way we ought to live. Help us, Lord, to just focus on you. And also, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to think about the government in a positive way. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you've put them there. And, Lord, we want to do what is right. You tell us how we ought to treat the government. And, Lord, I just pray that, like Jody was sharing, Lord, if there's people that are anxious, if there's people that are fearful, Lord, I just pray that they would turn to you. Not only in times like this, but Lord, that we as a people would always look to you. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. And I just pray that as we look into your word this morning, as we want to look at how good you are, I just pray that we would be encouraged. And Lord, that would also come from our heart as we go from here, that we are thankful to know a God like you. Just in your name I pray this, Lord. Amen. So last time, it's kind of interesting. Last time and the only other time I've been up here. Last time it was normal. And sure enough, I think it was the next week. Pauline, I think she said, yeah, it was the next week. All of a sudden, boom, no church. Pandemic. And so I don't know how many of us knew what the definition of pandemic was before that, but some of us know it by now. And so, change isn't always easy, but I think that we can take positives from change, from situations that we're faced, forced to go through, and even though they may seem strange and new. As a young boy, of about 15 years old, something happened in my life that changed me. It was an incident that caused me to take a step back and take stock of life. For my memory isn't very good, but so all the details aren't crystal clear. But I do remember that as we kids, it was probably a Saturday, we kids were about doing our own thing, and all of a sudden things got frantic in the house. And my mom, she was all of a sudden making phone calls, trying to get a hold of my uncle, as it was. And Dad was experiencing chest pains and very uncomfortable. And so she managed to get a hold of him. And as some of you might appreciate back then, I think telephone was probably the primary and maybe the only line of communication. So she was fortunate enough to get a hold of him. And so he was gracious enough to take him to the hospital. And, you know, we got word that they had arrived. He was still alive. Then later on, we got word that, sure enough, he had had a heart attack. And so I probably would have to say that I would have considered myself a sheltered, naive 15-year-old. And my thoughts went to a couple of places, and it was, is my dad going to live? And is he going to die? Is he going to be okay? What now? And the thought of losing my dad was devastating. But so life at Arch House changed for the next little while, and the vocabulary that was common at, around that time was that we heard the words like doctor's appointment, and we heard test results, and you probably know some of the other words that might come out too, right? So my childhood innocence left me somewhat then, and I guess for words of today, that became my new normal, right? And I had to face the fact that, you know what, we don't all live forever. And, you know, and if we look, if we can carry that into the message this morning, you know, we can look in the Bible and we can read of many such instances where life changed drastically for people. Most of those life changes we read about are probably centered around God's people, right? And we hear of how the Israelites struggled, how they did well, how they lived through different circumstances. And so last time as I was up here, I started to share about the Book of Chronicles and briefly shared, I guess, an intro and just how the Israelites had gotten to the point where they were that led up to the Chronicles. And so I want to look a little bit more into a little bit about the preceding history of that again this morning, but we see that, you know, that prophets had been sent to deliver a message to the Israelites, and a number of them, and in some cases instructions were given, other times warnings, and they were to turn from their wicked ways, but generally those kinds of messages went unheeded. So if you're just casually reading the Bible, it may not jump out at you, but Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and I think there's a number of other, number more that all came prior to the exile, and they had a message for the people. Micah reminded the people in Micah 6:8 that in order to do what the Lord required, they were to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with their God. Isaiah, he prophesied of the exile to come and of the deliverance that they should expect. Jeremiah had the unenviable task of warning the people of what lay ahead, and he had quite the story to tell. He didn't have an easy life, and so in the very book of, beginning of the book, we see that God had his hand on Jeremiah. And if we look at verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Verse 9, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So he had a message to deliver. And it was quite apparent. Not long after, Jeremiah gets his first message to deliver, chapter 2. The word of the Lord came to me, this is in verse 1, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown, Israel was holy to the Lord. The first fruits of his harvest, all who devoured her were held up, her were held guilty. All disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. And he goes on and on and about the message that he was supposed to bring them and how they, he says, what fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. So we see that he had a message that he was supposed to share with them, like, do you see the error of your way? And then later on, Jeremiah is also given another message from God to the exiles, and he writes a letter for the exiled priests and prophets. And there, if we turn to Jeremiah 29, and it's a bit of a longer passage, but starts in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, but do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Then there also it goes on. And so he's got a message for them that, yes, they will be in some place other than their home, right? They were exiled. But he was encouraging the people there to make the best of it. And so that was another message that Jeremiah was given. Jeremiah later on has not so good news, and the people are frustrated with him. And Jeremiah is told to hide because they fear the message that he had written to the king would leave him in danger, in harm. And so he and Baruch, they went and hid. So Jeremiah's message seemed to have little or no effect. And also Zephaniah was also sent to warn the people of impending exile. So all this to say, was God turning his back and deserting his people while they were in exile? Were they still included in his plan? God hadn't changed his mind. He wanted the Israelites to be his people. They just needed to humble themselves and follow his instructions. This is confirmed from the books of Ezekiel and Daniel. They lived during the exile, and they also had a message for the people as well. Ezekiel is given a vision, and in chapter 40, verse 4, I'm very high tech here. I have a Bible with post-it notes. Some of you other people have electronic devices. So this one apparently I didn't mark. But so Ezekiel is given a message or a vision, and this vision speaks about the restoration that will take place. And so he's supposed to share this with the people of Israel. Then Daniel, who's also lived in the exile, he understood that God had promised that the exile wouldn't go on indefinitely. So he knew that, hey, this is only for a time. And we need to endure. And so he had studied, and he knew. And when the time was almost there, he goes to God in prayer. And this sort of ties in. Well, this is where the scripture that was read this morning, that Warren read, where this happens. So Daniel's prayer. Daniel is, he recognizes that Verse 2, in the first year of your reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And so he turned to the Lord God and he pleaded with him in prayer and petition. Not just lightheartedly. In fasting and in sackcloth and ashes, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, to our princes, and to our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. So there wasn't excuse, right? They had fair warning. They had, their leadership had been told. The common folk had been told. Everybody had been given opportunity. And that's not to say that some of them didn't, right? He says, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings and our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord. He goes on to just recognize the error of their ways and then he pleads at the end. He says, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. So he's petitioning. So then we get to Chronicles. Then we get to the point where, I guess it's what I want to cover, right? So Chronicles is written to the exiles who are returning to their homeland to start life over. And by the way, Isaiah also foretold of how that was going to happen as well, how God was going to send a king that was going to allow this to happen for the rebuilding, for the restoration. And so the author of the Chronicles takes the time and shares with the people the lineage from Adam to David. We see that right in the beginning of Chronicles. He then goes on to share the promises God made to David. And this is just very quick, sort of brief. It's not in depth, but so we can see from the different kings that promises that God made to David. David was one of them. He was one of their people, right? And so as the author relates back to them their history, they should have been encouraged by what they saw. That when they as a people had walked closely with God, things went well. And conversely, when they didn't, things went poorly. Likewise, good leadership was critical to the success of the nation. Good king, prosperity; bad king, struggles. Likewise, the author of the Chronicles shares more encouragement for the people in the account of Solomon. In his prayer of dedication of the temple, that you can find in 2 Chronicles 6, he is he's very genuine and he's very passionate about his prayer to God and his petitions. And if you look at verse 26 of chapter 6, he gets a reply to specifically what he asks for later on. He says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when the enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come. So the Lord answers Solomon in chapter 7, and he speaks specifically to that. He says, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This was in the book of the Chronicles that was given to the exiles. They should have been encouraged. They should have seen that God was faithful. God was a just God. He was a righteous God. And so what comes out clearly is they were supposed to walk humbly. Micah also referred to that before. They were supposed to walk humbly. You can also notice, too, that Chronicles doesn't focus on some of the missteps or the downfalls of David and Solomon. And probably the people still remembered those kinds of things from history. But I think the chronicler was probably trying to focus on the positive and to encourage them that they were still God's people and that they were supposed to endeavor to live the way God wanted them to live. So what are we to take away from the books of the Chronicles? I think it's rather clear. Just like it was critical for Israel to have God be first in their lives, so ought we to make God number one in our lives. Do we become distracted? I think we do. What was Israel to do when other kings came against them? They weren't to consult other gods, but they were to pray to the only God and trust that he would take care of them. So what might that look for us in these times? Look like for us in these times? Do we become anxious in our hearts? And do we look to our own human minds to find the answers to our fears? We need to go back to the Word, and we need to recognize that we are safe in Christ. We need to pray and trust that just as God remained faithful and sent his Son as a Redeemer to save mankind, we can fully trust him to take care of whatever we need, whatever is going to come our way, and even if that does include real hardship. So, should God's word encourage us? Yes, absolutely. It encouraged Daniel when he poured out his heart to God. We can do the same. We can bring our petitions before him as well. God is our perfect Father, and he loves us. But as any good father, he will also not neglect to hold us accountable for our actions. So, I had entitled the message, Pie Anyone. And at this point, my point was this. If we don't want to humble ourselves, as 2 Chronicles 7 says, we will be served humble pie. It's our choice. Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to worship him? Just like that last song said that the worship team sang for us. We must never lose sight and remember that we represent hope to the world only if we act like God expects. Let's take a moment and pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, I just want to thank you for the freedoms that we do enjoy here in this country. Lord, these are different times. Lord, we aren't being specifically persecuted, but Lord, I just pray that you would help us to search our hearts, search our own hearts, Lord, and help us to see what's inside and what comes flowing out. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to draw near to you. Lord, help us not to be anxious. Help us not to be fearful. Lord, help us to recognize that just as you are always counted faithful, Lord, that we can trust in you. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to continue to love others. Help us to not be abrasive, but help us just to be a consistent light, to be a testimony to the people around us that may quietly be anxious, be fearful, be depressed. Lord, help us just to be a light, to be an encouragement, to bring a smile to others. Just thank you for this morning. Just pray that we would all leave here encouraged and that we would seek to honor you with the lives that we have been given. In your name I pray this. Amen. Have a great day.